It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Question: has the United States of America become the modern-day Roman Empire? George Orwell's 1984 society is here and getting worse by the day. Anyone who dares to question official narratives is demonized by all official sources and mainstream corporate media. To question official lies that are factually and scientifically verifiable lies is increasingly not allowed. How many have completely abandoned their sense of reason and logic on many fronts? From 9/11 to vaccine dangers, toxic fluoridated water, the climate engineering weather warfare assault. Again, this question must be posed. It must be asked. Does the insanity exist only because of the core group of concentrated power at the top? No. The only way that the global power elite can do what they do is because huge segments of society are unfortunately still blindly supporting, either actively or passively, official narratives of lies and deception. In the words of Edmund Burke, which I have repeated many times and must continue to do so, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. But if we stand together against the gathering storm, we can yet make a difference, even at this late hour. And remember this: the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. Something to deeply consider. We can't change course if we don't take an honest look at the path we're on. Later in this broadcast, I'll explain in detail how the deployment of climate engineering operations have committed us all, without our knowledge or consent, to an experiment from which there is no return. I'll explain in detail the ways in which climate engineering has derailed the planet's life support systems, from Earth's ability to produce clouds, to produce food, to the destruction of the ozone layer, to the disruption of the rain patterns, to the decimation of microbial life in soils and waters, and more. The power structure controlled climate science communities and their corporate media puppets are now, more than ever, trying to sell climate engineering as a safe and legitimate means to cool down our planet and extend our potential for near-term survival. But this narrative could not be further from the truth. Before pressing on with this broadcast on the most critical breaking frontline data, I need to state this. To all those that are continuing to do their best to sound the alarm, to wake others, to try and alter our current course, you have my deepest and most sincere gratitude. It is our combined efforts that can make a difference at this late hour. But we must make every day count. Breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for episode number 189, March 23rd, 2019. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings, 6 to 7, rebroadcast Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Global Alert News is also aired on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the Recent Top Stories and Radio sections. If you're aware of any radio stations that would be willing to pick up this commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. As always, our only goal is to sound the alarm, while it can still make a difference. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up always from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. This week's Gem Fair event, GEMFAIRE, Salt Lake City, Utah, started yesterday and is tomorrow. Mountain American Exposition Center next week. Puyallup, Washington, March 29th through the 31st, Washington State Fair Events Center. Week after, Eugene, Oregon, April 5th through April 7th, Lane County Events Center. If you're near these events, please show up, Get geoengineeringwatch.org materials, which are available free from our informational booth. Help us to distribute those materials. Help us to sound the alarm. Show your support for Jim Fair, that has put a tremendous amount of effort, energy, and resources into bringing the climate engineering crimes to the light of day. Search their home site. Find out where their events are. Please show up. Show your support. I need to make this statement about geoengineeringwatch.org. Article and YouTube comment threads. Constructive commentary is very beneficial for the sharing of information and expanding the understanding of the issues at hand. For every comment that is posted under these threads, there are countless silent readers that are trying to gain an understanding of what is unfolding in our world. Geoengineeringwatch.org encourages and greatly appreciates those who take the time to share constructive information and perspectives on our threads. This being said, comment submissions that are in any way threatening or suggestive of violence will not be posted, period. About horrific violence, another question. In how many ways will the horrific massacre in New Zealand serve those in power? In how many ways will they put it to use for their benefit? In how many ways has this tragedy already served the agenda of those in power by providing a massive and dire distraction from their ongoing criminal activities? The New Zealand tragedy already provided a distraction for the power structure from rising public dissatisfaction and dissent toward government criminality. The massive global protests on climate collapse from a week ago, for example, got little to no U.S. media coverage. Even while the U.S. and Saudi Arabia were actively engaged in blocking the attempt to address the global governance of climate engineering. More on that story later in this broadcast. First, a few headlines and a reminder. Biosphere collapse equals economic and societal collapse. Here are some headlines. A growing list of companies from FedEx to BMW are warning about the world economy. Another headline. Views of, quote, current economic conditions in Germany drop Euro debt crisis level. Crisis, economic crisis in those regions as well. BMW tumbles as earnings expected, quote, well below last year. Another headline. Micron says it will cut production as memory chip demand stalls. Another headline. South Korea chip exports collapse. Worst since 2009. Another headline. Russian central bank gold reserves rose to 2,152 tons in February. Another headline, is the world running out of gold? Question mark. Another headline, buy gold, sell stocks, is the, quote, trade of the century, says one hedge fund. Can't eat that gold either, though, can you? Can't eat the stocks either. The most important commodity now is what you can eat and drink and shelter. That will become increasingly evident as the weeks and months unfold. About our increasingly toxic world, here's a new headline report from multiple sources. Pesticide residues found in 70% of produce sold in the U.S., even after washing. Strawberries, spinach, and kale among the most pesticide-heavy. Conventionally farmed kale could contain up to 18 pesticides. If you think food sold in the U.S. is safe, think again. Another headline, second U.S. jury finds Bayer's Roundup caused cancer. The case was, and listen carefully to this excerpt, the case was only the second of some 11,200 Roundup lawsuits to go to trial in the United States. Two went to trial of 11,200. You think some suppression is going on? I wonder. The power structure protects the corporations that serve it, and sickening a population makes it easier to control. And any who choose not to see this reality that's been acknowledged by presidential advisors like Zbigniew Brzezinski, going back to the Johnson administration immediately after Kennedy died, the last president who really drew a line in the sand with the power structure, didn't live long. That's how bad it is. This is literally a fight for life for populations at this point. Let's continue on with the environment. This new headline from sciencemag.org. Something is rapidly killing young apple trees in North American orchards. Scientists are stumped. Yes, the so-called experts are, in so many cases, paid not to know what's going on, or at least never to disclose what's going on to the public. as I've stated too many times to count, the purpose of agencies that the public perceives to be for their protection are in fact agencies whose job it is to mask threats from the public, not to disclose them. Unfortunately, that is the fact of the matter. This report goes on to state that weather-related stress, drought, and severe cold, quote, could be an underlying cause. Could, may, might, how much I hate those terms. I'm sorry to keep beating that drum, but it's just the failure of academia to tell it like it is. Researchers reported this month, no mention, of course, about the climate engineering assault and the radical weather whiplash scenarios it is creating with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation, which is being used almost everywhere we see precipitation. Thus, the radical up and down temperatures, the unnaturally cold scenarios that occur after record warm highs in so many cases, patented processes of chemical ice nucleation taking an unimaginable toll on the environment and, yes, our fruit crops and our food crops as a whole, including grains. Go to geoengineeringwatch.org, top toolbar, search the engineering winter section and engineering wildfires, engineering droughts, all of it there, whole sections. Moving on, I want to give a very quick vaccination update. Question, how draconian are societies that force vaccinate, that force inject their citizens with known toxic materials, known neurotoxins like aluminum, mercury, and other highly damaging substances? As the power structure attempts to eliminate any discussion of proven vaccine dangers, many sincere individuals still refer to the polio vaccine scenario as proof of the good that vaccines have done. But what's the real truth about the polio problem? Carefully consider this fact. In 1977, Dr. Jonas Salk, who developed the first polio vaccine, testified along with other scientists that mass inoculation against polio was, quote, the cause of most polio cases throughout the U.S. since 1961. That's taken from science records from 4477 under the abstract section. This statement from Dr. Jonas Salk states the truth of the vaccine scenario in a nutshell. The polio vaccine only increased the amount of cases of polio when it was introduced, and it had no part in actually creating a decline in the disease. Science documentation states the decline was happening naturally and the vaccine was introduced on a downturn of polio cases. The introduction of the polio vaccine actually created a spike in polio cases overall. But in spite of the vaccine-induced spike in polio cases, the disease continued to decline, especially in countries that did not introduce the vaccine. This is profound evidence showing that the polio vaccine was not responsible for the decline, and should negate the belief and statement that the polio vaccine demonstrates vaccine success. Are any medical doctors coming to similar conclusions today? Question mark. The short answer is yes. Consider this new report headline from last week, published by Vaccine Impact News and other sources. Here's the headline, matching the statement of polio vaccine creator Jonas Salk. Medical doctor states to Maine legislatures, quote, disease persists due to vaccine failure, not because of the unvaccinated. I would encourage any who are sincerely committed to discovering the truth to do an honest investigation of the polio vaccine and all vaccines. And never forget this. If vaccines are so beneficial and so safe, why are all vaccine companies given total legal immunity from any and all injury and death their vaccines cause? Why are so many in the medical industry so willfully ignoring scientifically proven vaccine dangers? Here is the why. Because paychecks and pensions depend on conformity to official false narratives and to the insane asylum that we are now sinking further into by the day. Here's a new headline of half-truth from Business Insider and other mainstream media sources. 12 signs we're in the middle of a sixth mass extinction. Here's the falseness of this headline. We are not in the middle of, we are in the very latter stages of the sixth great mass extinction on planet Earth, with this extinction happening statistically, mathematically, a minimum of 170 times faster than any previous mass extinction. We are in the fast track to creating a lifeless ball of rock in space in the geologic blink of an eye. More on that as this broadcast goes on. I've tried to bring to attention countless times, again, that biosphere implosion will force the hand of those who wield global power, those who control the world's largest and most powerful military machines. With that in mind, consider this new headline from counterpunch.org. Countdown to, quote, full spectrum dominance. This is where the document, the U.S. military document, owning the weather, fits into the equation. And so many people ask me, why would our military, why would our government, why would other governments want to control the weather? My response has always been, why wouldn't they want to control the weather? They can destabilize and topple populations without those populations ever even knowing they were at war. And that has been the case, been going on for decades and decades. Weather warfare is the crown jewel of the military-industrial complex, period. Moving on, from this report on full-spectrum dominance, the U.S. is formally committed to dominating the world by the year 2020, with the production of laser-armed fighter jets as possible precursors to space weapons and the possibility of nuclear warheads being put into orbit. The clock is ticking. This report, again, not even mentioning the largest, most utilized covert weapon of all, weather warfare. Another headline, this one from CNN and other sources. Pentagon deploys bombers and troops to Europe, sending message to Putin. Let's stand back and ask again, who is on whose borders threatening who always? U.S. on everybody else's border, conducting war games right on their border. What would Americans do? I'm asking a simple question. What would Americans do if China and Russia and, let's say, Iran were conducting war games on the U.S.-Canadian border? Or the U.S.-Mexico border, what would we do? Does that question even need to be answered? But yet, somehow, Americans think, so many, unfortunately, that it's okay for our militaries to be on their borders all over the world, that it's okay for our militaries to be in 150 countries around the globe. I'm sorry to say that the United States of America is the modern-day Rome. And that is not to condone other countries. Believe me, I don't condone other countries. I recognize the danger they would pose if they had the same power the U.S. has. But how is that an excuse for the U.S. to do what we're doing? How is that an excuse that the U.S. military is being used and has been used as a hammer for the empire to decimate any country that has resources that the empire needs? It's not about freedom and democracy. On that note, from multiple sources, Brazilian President Bolsonaro. Here's a headline at Langley in the U.S. The headline states, new U.S. lapdog pays homage to the empire. That is the headline. Yes, Brazilian President Bolsonaro, another puppet for the U.S. power structure with all the resources that Brasilia holds, all the resources that are now being pursued by the empire in Venezuela. These scenarios are not hard to see. For those that don't know what Bolsonaro is or what he represents, he is the epitome of the loot, plunder, and pillage power structure puppets. As I stated, the U.S. coup attempt continues in Venezuela. Here's a new headline report from multiple sources. Quote, the coup has failed, and now the U.S. is looking to wage war in Venezuela. Yeah, the military-industrial is a hammer. When you're a hammer, everything else looks like a nail. That's also in the words of Wesley Clark, a week after 9/11, when he, that's on film, on the record, by the way, former NATO Supreme Commander Wesley Clark stating what he was told 1 week after 9/11, all the countries that were slated to be taken out, obviously plans that were in place far before 9/11. The whole agenda of 9/11, creating a new Pearl Harbor to galvanize the U.S. population into blindly supporting the unbridled aggression of the military-industrial complex as it pursues resources around the world to sustain itself. That's what's unfolding. Thankfully, many former U.S. military veterans are trying to stand against this insanity. They see clearly, given what they've been through. On that note, this new headline. This is from veteransforpeace.org. Here's the headline. Veterans call to resist U.S. coup in Venezuela, from veterans. And I have always supported veterans, though I have always stood against the misuse of our military brothers and sisters being used as paid mercenaries for the empire. I have always supported our veterans because I believe their motives have been honorable. I gave to DAV, Disabled American Veterans, for 20 years. Gave to VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, for the same amount of time. I worked rehabbing NAM vets. Our disabled veterans break my heart, and I feel for them and their families, but I'm asking them, as painful as it is, to stand back and look at the bigger picture and understand what it's all about. Pat Tillman knew. For those that don't know what Pat Tillman went through, I refer to him often because he is the epitome of a patriot who overlooked multi-million dollar pro sports contracts to enlist in the U.S. military after 9/11. And when he learned what it was really all about, he was assassinated by elements within our own government. That's the fact of the matter. How many are choosing to look the other way with such an atrocity? Pat Tillman was the epitome of patriotism. Let's look at this situation honestly. If we don't, we're not patriotic, we're tyrannical. We must look through a clear lens to see clearly what's happening in the world. We were told that the U.S. military went to Iraq to bring them freedom and democracy. How are the Iraqis feeling toward the U.S. after so many years of their country being decimated? Here's a new headline report. Iraqi parliament prepares to evict U.S. troops. Again, this is not to say that there's not good men in the U.S. military, good men that are in those locations. But they are being manipulated by an incredibly corrupt and criminal power structure. In regard to ongoing coup d'etats, here's a question. Is there also an ongoing coup against U.S. populations? In fact, against civilian populations all over the globe. When will the ongoing climate engineering operations, aka weather and biological warfare, be acknowledged by the halls of academicians? When will the criminal cowards in mainstream media be seen for what they are? Accomplices in the criminal cover-up of countless power structure criminal activities, with the climate engineering assault being at the top of the list. Academia's and media's omission of the climate engineering issue is criminal, period. On that note, here's a headline. Climate change's fingerprints are on U.S. Midwest floods, scientists state. That's from Reuters. And again, of course, the climate engineering factor in the equation goes unmentioned when it is a core part of the equation. This is not to say disasters wouldn't happen without climate engineering. I'm not saying that. But when you affect the entire system, nothing can be considered natural from that point on. And we know climate engineers have the ability to disrupt and disband rainfall. They're doing it to the Middle Eastern countries. And yet we have seen a radical ramp up in the last 2 years, 2-3 years, of cataclysmic flooding, fires, the weather whiplash scenarios. It's getting far worse, not better, far worse. Another headline on this front. U.S. farmers face devastating scenarios following Midwest floods. Another headline. Catastrophic flooding in the Midwest could last for, quote, months, and that is going to mean a dramatic drop in U.S. food production, controlling the food supply. And when we have, quote, forecasters stating this type of long-term prediction, that's not a forecast. That's stating the scheduled weather to program populations into accepting whatever's coming because it was predicted, right? Wrong. It was scheduled. This is weather warfare against U.S. populations, period. Whatever the agendas that are being carried out, the fact that these cataclysms cannot be separated from the weather engineering, climate engineering, weather warfare insanity is absolutely inarguable. Another headline report, Great Lakes feeling effects of rapid climate warming. That's from ABC News. A scientific report says the Great Lakes region is warming faster than the rest of the U.S., which will likely bring more flooding and other extreme weather events such as heat waves and drought. Another headline from multiple sources, this new report. From the other side of the world, thousands evacuated as twin cyclones, two of them, menace northern Australia. Australia's Northern Territory has begun one of the largest mass evacuations since 1974 as two powerful storms threaten the country's northern coastline. We don't hear much about a lot of things around the world on our media, do we? They just want to tell us how cold it is and how nice the spring weather is when it rebounds 50, 60 degrees in a certain day, just to pacify the population while the world is spinning into total climate collapse and climate chaos. Now this headline. Harvard scientists want to limit how much sunlight reaches Earth's surface in order to curb global warming. First, mountains of deception in this headline and so many like it. Geoengineering is a card that was played over 70 years ago. These programs have been deployed for over 70 years with cataclysmic consequences, and still mainstream media and academia pretends it hasn't even happened yet. What a blatant, glaring lie. Two, search Dane Wigington, David Keith, and you can see me confronting Dr. Keith at his proposal to dump 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere annually. When confronted on that there was no environmental impact reports done to justify such an objective, his final statement was this: could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a statement is this from the world's most recognized geoengineer, who, by the way, is the power structure's primary PR person, whose task it is to pacify populations by pretending that climate engineering isn't already going on with cataclysmic consequences? Total deception from academia and media. So let's be clear, there is no final option. There is no final hole card, some miraculous rabbit out of a hat cure for what we've done to our planet. The best we can do now is to shut down every possible form of human activity, starting with climate engineering, and do everything we can to plant trees and pray. That's the scenario we're in. And those that think this is laughable, you won't be laughing for long. I assure you, you won't be laughing for long. I'm simply trying to sound the alarm to unite the tribes so that we might yet salvage some of Earth's life support systems. Is that not worth fighting for? An example I've given in the past on seemingly impossible situations: if your child was in a burning house and there was almost no chance of saving your child, your son, your daughter, would you not still run into that house and try no matter what? No matter what. That's the scenario we are in. We must try. And if we do try together, who can say what we may yet accomplish? We must try. Trying is not just an option. It is an absolute obligation. We owe it to our children. We owe it to the web of life. Why are we here if not to devote ourselves to such a critical effort? Many are expressing concern about looming global economic collapse. Question: how much does economic collapse matter against a backdrop of biosphere collapse, which is already unfolding by the day? The human race must somehow summon the focus and fortitude to properly prioritize, starting with preserving what is yet left of the planet's life support systems. If we don't, we won't be here much longer, any of us, and we will likely take the entire web of life down with us. Back to the imploding biosphere in which our collective futures most completely depend, from the UK Guardian and other sources, this recent headline of yet another critical warning sign that so few are aware of. Quote, farmers fight to save Britain's disappearing earthworms. I believe statistics reflect a decline in global earthworm populations of something like 80%+, parallel with the insect population decline. Hard to grow food with no earthworms. Hard to grow food with no bees, no pollinators, and both are happening at a cataclysmic rate. And so many still seem so unaware and unconcerned because our media and the power structure is doing everything it can to make sure that it stays that way until the brutal, bitter end. It's up to us to wake those around us, to summon them to this battle, to sound the alarm, to change course while we still have something left to salvage. From multiple sources, this new study report, which confirms what GeoengineeringWatch.org has stated on the record for a decade, quote, study shows IPCC is underselling climate change. It means they're underreporting it. They're downplaying it. Who is the IPCC? The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the largest scientific panel ever assembled in human history on any subject. Nothing but a PR tool for the power structure to pacify populations until the brutal, bitter end. As I've stated so many times, reported on, done articles on, it's not as bad as we've been told. It's exponentially worse. Exponentially worse. How many have concluded from the corporate media hype that the Western U.S. is now lush and wet from all the rain and the record snows in places like Washington State? Consider this new headline report from Fox News and other sources. Quote, we've already had 50 wildfires in Washington, and it's not even April. The report states this: out of the 50 brush fires, 49 of them have been west of the Cascades, the supposedly wet and lush side of the Cascades. And the report states this, quote, for us, this is incredibly strange. That's a quote from Fox News meteorologist Tim Joyce. Record cold, record snow, and record wildfires in the same window of time. OK, consider that. Welcome to Climate Engineering. There's this new headline highlighting the head of the EPA, the nation's top environmental official, Andrew Wheeler, a former coal industry lobbyist. Here's the headline. EPA administration dismisses climate change as 50 to 75 years out. Andrew Wheeler, again, a former coal industry lobbyist. What a blatant and glaring lie from someone that amounts to a paid liar. Mathematically speaking, understand this, on the current trajectory, we won't be here 75 years out or 50 years out. And mathematically speaking, society on the current course will likely collapse far sooner than 5 years. Mathematically speaking, with the current rate of global wildlife population die-off, 0 hour is 2026. And paid deceivers like this head of the EPA stating that our problems are 50 to 75 years out, what reality does he live in? Unfortunately, too many people want to hear this, believe it, and never investigate, and that must change. It must change. Please investigate this type of blatant, glaring lie. Look for the truth. Don't just feed from the corporate media trough of lies and deception, because that's what it is, a trough of lies and deception. There's this recent report to consider from the UK Independent and other sources. U.S. administration to create panel to deny climate change facts that almost all scientists agree on. Many people refer to it, the fake petition with 30,000 scientists that say global warming isn't happening. Those are completely bogus stories. You must look below the surface. That petition was a complete farce. Verifiable farce. Please, please look for yourself. In fact, don't believe me or any climate scientist or anyone else. Look at films like Chasing Ice, a non-political film, riveting film, incredibly interesting. All I've ever asked, all I'm asking for now, is for people to honestly investigate, to consider what they can see with their own eyes, to utilize their own sense of reason, and to get past bias, preconception, and ideology. That's all I'm asking. Back to this report on the climate change panel that's being created. The report states this, a committee working under the National Security Council, NSC, would include skeptics who have questioned the scientific consensus on man-made global warming. Administration officials have revealed having the panel operate under the NSC would avoid the public scrutiny usually required of governmental advisory committees. So much for transparency, right? Let's stop there for just a moment. To deny the damage that the human race has done to the planet is not a supportable position. It's like running someone over in a crosswalk and claiming they died of a heart attack. You'd have a hard time making that argument. Human activity, with climate engineering at the top of the list, has decimated this planet in the geologic blink of an eye. That's mathematically, statistically, scientifically inarguable. Please, please, just look at the data. Moving on, at the increasing attempts to totally deregulate everything, to ramp up the loot, plunder, and pillage policies till the brutal bitter end. This new report from the insurancejournal.com and other sources. Nuclear power industry pushes for fewer inspections. What a great idea, given we have Fukushima and other nuclear problems brewing right now. More on that in a moment. The nuclear power industry is pushing for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to cut back on inspections at nuclear power plants and to throttle back what it tells the public about plant problems. Yeah, why tell anybody? The agency, whose board is dominated by the current administration's appointees, are listening. But the prospect of the current administration's regulation-cutting mission reaching the NRC alarms independent industry watchdogs. It should alarm them, who say words like this, nuclear safety and deregulation don't go together. How obvious is that? In regard to nuclear power and the almost incomprehensible danger it poses, consider, as I have covered in a recent broadcast and others before, the Fukushima Triple China Syndrome nuclear reactor meltdown. It's a nuclear volcano just passed its 8th anniversary. And to be clear, there is no known technology to deal with Fukushima and no end in sight. This single ongoing event, if not dealt with, will be a global extinction scenario by itself if other converging factors don't do the job first. Next, what happens to the rest of the world's nuclear power plants when global grids shut down, which is a matter of time? Here's what happens. The nuclear plants cannot cool their reactors. We will then have Fukushima times over 400. Game over for life on Earth. And consider this, climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer, making electrical grids much more vulnerable to shutdown due to solar flares, thus making a looming global nuclear holocaust yet another threat that can be directly connected to the global climate engineering, weather warfare, insanity. On that note, two additional headlines that reveal the ongoing nuclear insanity nightmare. Quote, U.S. atomic plants, quote, dodging radioactive bullets as floodwaters submerge Midwest. From that report, multiple sources, with heavy rainfall inundating U.S. Midwest, nuclear power plants risk being flooded. However, the plants continue to operate at full power, resulting in the potential for extremely high-risk scenarios. That's happening right now. Where did all that water come from? You can't take the climate engineering factor out of the equation because they are intentionally diverting maximum moisture to the most populated regions of the U.S. in order to chemically nucleate that moisture in order to create cool downs to deceive and confuse the population as to the true extent of climate implosion. And in doing so, causing so many cataclysmic downstream events, including the potential flooding of nuclear power plants, which would create yet another Fukushima. So many roads lead straight back to climate engineering. Another headline on that note, ocean-going nuclear plants to be deployed for South China Sea. What a great idea, as if oceans are not dying fast enough already. More on the subject of weather warfare, which is being waged on civilian populations around the globe. In regard to the so-called weather forecasters and their so-called predictions, here's a question. When the laws of nature no longer apply, how do the so-called weather forecasters actually predict the weather? Answer, they're not predicting. They're not forecasting. They're reading a script. That's not my opinion. It's not speculation. It's not conjecture. It's fact. The Freedom of Information Act request that our legal team has received from NOAA, because we sued the U.S. Department of Commerce to get them, proved for the record that the quote forecasts are nothing more than scripts being passed all the way down to the local meteorologist level from the very top, which is Raytheon, who does all the modeling for the National Weather Service and NOAA, which are under illegal federal gag orders, so that the quote forecast will be consistent and not necessarily accurate. Those who engineer the weather need to control the weather narrative. That's exactly what's happening. So to reiterate, what we are told, our weather forecasts are in fact scripted statements of what will be and what is the scheduled weather. More on the ongoing flooding, again, connected with climate engineering without question. So, in consideration of what I just outlined on what amounts to the scheduled weather, consider this new headline from USA Today and other sources. Spring flooding could be, quote, unprecedented, with 200 million Americans at risk. The report states spring flooding has already been disastrous and it's likely to get worse. Federal forecasters announced on Thursday. Again, federal forecasters. Who's doing their forecasting? Who does their modeling? Raytheon. Climate engineering contractor Raytheon. Who's passing down the, quote, scheduled weather scripts? Raytheon from the top. Federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. This headline, preparing Americans for probable cataclysm, is the scheduled weather. And it's not just happening here, it's happening around the globe. It states this, floods could reach, quote, unprecedented and potentially historic levels. Scheduled weather. Keep that in mind. From the news source, allafrica.com and other sources, this new headline, no tomorrow, quote, no tomorrow for many unless consumption falls. Nairobi, global exploitation of natural resources from water, sand, and timber to oil, coal, gemstones has more than tripled in 50 years. The United Nations said on Tuesday, warning of devastating environmental impacts unless demand is reduced. Surging consumption of natural resources, 92 billion tons in 2017 alone, accounts for half the world's planet heating greenhouse gas emissions and over 90% of the world's biodiversity loss. In regard to species loss, again, we're losing 200 to 300 species a day, plant, animal, and insect, to extinction a day. That's 15,000 times the background rate. In regard to greenhouse gases, it's not about Al Gore. It's not about carbon credit shams. It's about reality. We live in a fishbowl. The gases we create that migrate into the atmosphere don't float off into space. They stay here, and they are trapping heat. Climate engineering also trapping more heat than it deflects. That heat is building up at the rate of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second, the thermal energy in 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. Please, please investigate everything I say. You can find it online. Investigate. That's all I'm asking. Moving on to the looting, plundering, and pillaging of resources continues. This one from the Sydney Morning Herald and other sources. This is a revealing report about the growing demand for aluminum in spite of the fact that global economies are contracting. Why would that be? Here's the report. Quote, nice and dirty, Rio's new mine taps aluminum boom. Aluminum's booming while everything else is slowing down. Why would that be? Look up and you'll realize why. It's being dumped into our skies. Remember what I stated earlier about Harvard scientist Dr. David Keith stating on the record, on film, the goal of putting 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the sky? Connect the dots. Not hard to see this bigger picture if you connect the dots. Final statement from this report. Aluminum industry executives said there was, quote, a bright outlook for aluminum, with demand being driven by factors like light, weight, and concern about climate change. How much should we read into that statement? An aluminum industry executive connecting aluminum and climate change. And let's remember, there could be no legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without first and foremost including climate engineering, period. Let's go over the state of the climate. Some reminder facts. Statistical facts. Earth is now the warmest it's been in some 120,000 years. 18 of the last 19 years have been the warmest on record. And concentrations of carbon dioxide, a very potent greenhouse gas, but methane much worse still, are likely the highest they've been in 15 million years. We have decimated our planet in the geologic blink of an eye. We've just passed the 410th or 11th consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. It's going to get worse very quickly from here. We must change course if we expect to be here much longer. From BBC News and other sources, yet another report of catastrophic weather. Cyclone Idai. Many dead in Zimbabwe and Mozambique. Many Americans didn't see much about these stories. From ScientificAmerican.com and other sources, this new report. In California, rising seas pose a bigger economic threat than wildfires and earthquakes. It's quite a statement, isn't it? How many people know that this threat is even as real as it is? The combined impact from storms and higher sea levels will be greater than the worst natural disasters in state history. That's from Scientific American. Sea level rise threatens California's economy 10 times more than recent extreme wildfires or severe earthquakes, according to a major new study. From multiple sources, this new report on our dying and burning forests. Low elevation forests finding it more difficult to regrow after fires due to climate change. It's not just due to climate change. I want to drive that point home. Climate engineering, single greatest environmentally destructive factor on the planet today, and that is not to deny anthropogenic climate change, not at all. Bottom line is, destroyed ozone layer, poisoned soils, dead soil microbes, all contributing to nothing growing in the forest anymore. As I've stated in the past, I was once able to plant 300 saplings in a day, myself, with a 95% success rate. The success rate now of those trees making it through the first year is zero. Zero. Soils are poison soils. pHs are changing. UV radiation is frying everything. And climate engineering is never mentioned by the legions of academicians that are betraying the human race and the entire web of life. We must hold them accountable, find their email contacts, send them credible information, CC as many other people as you can, hold them accountable. Tell them we know they know what's going on, and it's absolutely unacceptable for them to be a part of this criminal cover-up. Period. We all must take these steps if we're to bring academia out in the open and force the criminal mainstream media that's helping with the cover-up as well to find their honor. Though we probably shouldn't hold our breath on that notion, should we? From multiple sources, this new headline from last week. All over the globe, daytime temperatures are being shattered, along with nighttime temperatures. Temperatures are not cooling off at night as they should because the heating of our planet is increasingly trapped for the reasons I already described. Again, not just from greenhouse gases, but from the heat trapping effects of toxic climate engineering operations. Here's the headline. Seattle sets all-time record for warmest winter day. And consider that the official high temperatures, again, all over the globe are being underreported. Yes, it's even hotter than we're being told, and the heat records are still being shattered constantly. From the report, quote, Seattle, hard to believe, just 5 weeks ago, Seattle was shoveling snow. Now it's like July, from the report. Again, all over the globe. From CBC Canada, that's Canadian media, this report. Permafrost thaw in Canadian Arctic, sign of global trend. Buildings in some regions are being demolished because of shaky foundations. Permafrost is thawing, soils are collapsing. That's what's happening. Let's add this new headline from weather.com. 70s in Alaska, northern Canada, and Washington State smashes all-time March temperature records before winter ends. Temperatures surged above 70 degrees in Alaska and northern Canada. All-time March records were shattered in these northern latitudes. Over 70 degrees. Those are the official temperatures. The actual temperatures on the ground higher still. How much of that do we see on our media or our climate engineering cover-up organizations like the Weather Channel, whose job it is to cover the tracks of the climate engineers? Criminal. Absolutely criminal. They should be put on trial in front of an awakened public. That's what should happen with those contributing to this cover-up. Also new from CBC News Canada, Arctic now locked into devastating temperature rise, new UN report states. From the report, the Arctic is now locked into a destructive degree of climate change regardless of what measures are taken to halt the greenhouse gas emissions. As I've stated over and over, if you crash through the guardrail on your car, putting on the brakes doesn't do much good at that point. We can still salvage some part of Earth's life support systems. How much will remain to be seen depends on what we do or don't do. Another headline from theatlantic.com. The very optimistic, listen to this, the very optimistic new argument for dimming the sky, i.e. geoengineering. It says this, listen to this. Geoengineering won't hurt a bit, at least compared with climate change, and it deserves serious investigation, according to the authors of a recent study. So the power structure finds an academician that's willing to tell any degree of blatant lie to deceive the population in order to push their agenda. 70 plus years of catastrophic climate engineering, and they are pretending it hasn't already happened and that it will be a magic cure for everything we've done to the planet. We have to see through this. We have to sound the alarm. We have to bring climate engineering to light. That effort will take all of us. At the beginning of this broadcast, I stated I would cover the cataclysmic effects of climate engineering. Let me cover what I can before I run out of time. For YouTube listeners that don't know, my on-air AM, FM broadcasts are limited to 55 minutes exactly, so I have a very strict time limit. Let me continue. Volumes of inarguable data make clear that climate engineering operations have been ongoing for over 70 years with absolutely catastrophic results. Here are a few of the consequences. The total disruption of Earth's hydrological cycle, i.e. the rain cycle. The destruction of the ozone layer. The complete contamination of the lower atmosphere and the entire surface of the planet. Then consider that each of these consequences has countless downstream impacts that then feed into the equation as feedback loops. Here are two of many such feedback loops. Fueling the rapid die-off and incineration of Earth's forests, killing plankton by the now highly dangerous UV radiation levels, including UVC. These two factors alone, the dying of the forest and the dying plankton, are by themselves death sentences for us all if we remain on the current course. Forests and plankton are the two primary oxygen-producing and natural cloud-making mechanisms on our planet. For the record, mathematically speaking, climate engineering, again, is the single most destructive human activity in the history of our species. For the record, mathematically speaking, the geoengineering, weather warfare, insanity is the single greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face, short of nuclear cataclysm. What other agenda might the climate engineering atmospheric spraying operations involve? Consider this report that reveals a glimpse into the true darkness and depravity of those in power. This is a headline report from the UK Guardian and other sources, and though not new, it is critically important and should be deeply considered. Here's the report headline. Millions were in germ war tests. From the report, much of Britain was exposed to bacteria sprayed in secret trials. From the report, quote, the Ministry of Defense turned large parts of the country into giant laboratories to conduct a series of secret germ warfare tests on the public. from the report. A government report just released provides, for the first time, a comprehensive official history of Britain's biological weapons trials. Many of the tests involve releasing potentially dangerous chemicals and microorganisms over vast swaths of the population without the public being told. While details of some secret trials have emerged in recent years, the 60-page report reveals new information about more than 100 covert experiments. The report reveals that military personnel were briefed to tell any, quote, inquisitive inquirer the trials were part of research projects into weather and air pollution. Connect the dots. Another headline, U.S. historical headline from 1977. Army conducted 239 U.S. Army secret open-air germ tests on U.S. populations. Business as usual. It is the same now, only worse. To believe the governments, including our own, are not carrying out the same manner of experimentation today is an unimaginably naive notion. It's a mistake. Consider this report from Forbes.com and other sources. This is new. Scientists resume efforts to create deadly flu virus with U.S. government's blessing. This is new. From that report, scientists have been trying to create a deadly human pathogen from avian influenza. They are trying to turn, quote, bird flu, which does not normally infect people, into human flu. That is new. Please look it up. Please connect the dots. Many try to convince themselves that if such massive and nefarious operations were being conducted, that there would be legions of whistleblowers lining up to tell their stories. But again, such a premise for denial is a mistake. Not only are there unimaginably draconian confidentiality agreements, or more accurately, gag orders, in place, but we must ask this question. How many who were planning to speak out about the dire impending threats have been killed before they could do so? How can we know? How could we ever know? Consider this 2015 headline from the UK Telegraph. Three scientists investigating melting Arctic ice may have been assassinated, professor claims. Consider this headline. Weather Channel meteorologist's death ruled a suicide. From that report, a longtime Weather Channel meteorologist whose death made national headlines took his own life, according to a medical examiner in Atlanta. Meteorologist Nick Wiltkin slammed his car into the wall of a parking garage in the Weather Channel facility. Now, let's move on to what I covered last week. UN conference opens in Nairobi day after Ethiopian Airlines crash. From that report, many of the UN staff killed in Ethiopian Airlines crash were en route to the UNEP assembly in Kenya's capital. It's an environmental protection meeting. And they were killed the day before. 22 of them, I believe. What might they have been going to say? What to this equation do we not know yet? Then, as I reported in last week's broadcast, there is this factor to consider in the equation. The following headline from last Sunday is from the UK Guardian and other sources. U.S. and Saudi Arabia blocking regulation of geoengineering. U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Delegates at a UN Environmental Assembly say the oil producers are protecting their industries. Why would that be a surprise? And that includes the military-industrial complex that desperately needs the fossil fuel industry. From that report, the United States and Saudi Arabia have hamstrung global efforts to scrutinize climate geoengineering in order to benefit their fossil fuel industries, according to multiple sources at the United Nations Environmental Assembly. The world's two biggest oil producers reportedly led opposition against plans to examine the risks of climate manipulating technology, such as injecting particles into the atmosphere. Connect the dots. Back to the airliner crash that killed so many UN staff. Consider this headline. Peace found at Boeing 737 crash site shows jet was set to dive. The position of the so-called jack screw used to set the trim that raises and lowers the plane's nose indicates the jet was configured to dive. Based on a preliminary review, according to a person familiar with the investigation, think about all these dots. Connect all these dots. And the stakes are getting higher by the day, as is the threats posed by those in power. What will they do as the population begins to wake up to what's unfolding and what's been done to them without their knowledge or consent? Consider this quote by Plato. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. And this quote, "The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane." That's from Marcus Aurelius. My thanks to the activist who recently reminded me of these timeless quotes on a Geoengineering Watch comment thread. That's the importance of those threads, as I mentioned earlier. I'm out of time. A final note. We must not underestimate the good that we may yet do if we stand together, if we make our voices heard, if we sound the alarm, if we wake populations to what's unfolding, share credible data from a credible source, make your voice heard, make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.